Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a Tuesday, it is the Feast of St. Barnabas. Pray for us. Great to be with you on a Tuesday and every day here at EWTN. It's June 11, 2024. Hope all is well in your neck of the woods. I'll have the weather forecast for you in just a minute. First, want to let you know about the rundown, as we say in the biz, right after the news and the weather and all that good stuff. We have our good friend, Dr. Edward Shreve, very, very familiar to our audience, and he's got a brand new book out. I'm so excited. I love the book. I endorsed it. And now it's here for your reading pleasure and growth in your faith, because it's really cool. What do you seek? Encountering the heart of the gospel. And a quick summary takes readers much deeper into the heart of the gospel through the five R's, inviting us to interiorize the foundational key aspects of the gospel message, including relationship, rebellion, reconciliation, recreation or recreation, and response. So Ted will join us at about 15 minutes past the hour, and then at 39 minutes past the hour, Brian Butler from Ascension Press is back with us. So he was on with us recently, but so many of the topics that we discussed were so interesting to me, especially during this, what the world calls Pride Month. He's an expert on theology of the body, and most recently he was on to talk about a new program that he's doing with Ascension Press, the newly refreshed Envision Theology of the Body for Middle School program. But when we were talking during the break, we were looking at some news items and talking about so-called Pride Month, and I was saying this is such a crucial time, and we in the church are recognizing this as the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We just talked about that, right, with Emily Jaminet yesterday. But what is the world saying? And what we're seeing now, and Father Fessio mentioned this a few months ago when he was on with me talking about the book fairs that Ignatius is actually doing now, that programs such as Scholastic and others are starting to introduce, or have actually been introducing, some pretty questionable material, especially during Pride Month. So how do we deal with this? Then we had that YouTube influencer who targets her content toward families with very young children coming out with this big, big, big statement all about how wonderful Pride Month is. And her material is targeting babies, kids 3 years and under. So in this world, how do we talk to especially teens and tweens about this, and how do we help each other witness to those who are involved in these kinds of very destructive lifestyles? But we love them, but we want to help bring the truth to them. And so we're going to be talking about these current events with the Eucharist in mind, especially moving into the Eucharistic Congress coming up next month, and looking at the difference between Pride and the processions that they're doing versus, right, what we see, which is so beautiful now, so many different Eucharistic processions. So again, some really important topics to discuss this morning with Brian Butler, and of course with our friend Dr. Edward Shreve as well and his new book. And if you think about it, the two interviews will be a nice segue between each other, because basically talking about the same thing in terms of embracing the gospel message of Jesus. All right, let me give you the weather quickly, because we have a ton of news to get through this morning. We have excessive heat still out there, severe weather, and a heavy rainfall. We'll have a story about that in the news as well. But we're talking dangerous heat levels, folks, according to the National Weather Service. And this is for the Southwest and portions of California today. The heat will also be of great concern for lower elevations of Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. And then we have a few severe thunderstorms expected across portions of the southern plains and the upper Midwest. Across Florida, they're saying a plume of the tropical moisture will continue to produce showers and thunderstorms and heavy rain and possible flooding. So again, we still have some pretty rough weather out there, so keep that in mind if you're in those affected areas or traveling there. Right now, it's 4 minutes past the hour. It's a Tuesday. Appreciate your listenership here at EWTN. Let's get started with the news on a Tuesday. Well, the Holy Father, as Linda Bordoni tells us from the Vatican, addressing the mayor of Rome and the city administration as it prepares to host the 2025 Jubilee, highlighting how the Jubilee spirit is one of inclusion of the last in society, and the Pope also announcing he will be opening a holy door in a prison.
The Pope was welcomed at the so-called Campidoglio on the Capitoline Hill, where the municipality has its headquarters, in the magnificent square designed by Michelangelo, to the sound of trumpets. Before delivering his speech, the Pope and Rome's mayor, Roberto Gualtieri, pause to contemplate the beauty of the Roman Forum that unfolds beneath the hill, highlighting the city's 2,800-year history and its constant vocation for universality. Pope Francis upheld the many virtues of ancient Roman culture and reflected on how the spread of Christianity offered people hope and challenged institutions like slavery that were once deemed natural and unchangeable. Thus, as Rome prepares for the Jubilee of 2025, he called for the city's readiness to welcome the influx of pilgrims and tourists and said active cooperation cannot but benefit all. The Jubilee, he noted, can have a positive impact on the face of the city, improving its decorum and making public services more efficient, not only in the centre, but also fostering the rapprochement between centre and periphery. And reiterating Rome's universal spirit dedicated to charity, hospitality, and serving those in need, he announced his intention to open a holy door in one of Rome's prisons during the Jubilee year.
A new Pew study examining some of the most contentious issues being considered ahead of this year's presidential election has found, as Catholic News Agency explains, that voters are highly divided still on hot-button issues such as abortion, gender, the role of the family in society, and immigration. CNA reporting, the report says a relatively large minority of voters overall, 39%, think society is better off if folks make marriage and having children a priority, while nearly 60% say society is just as well off with people and other priorities. Trump supporters are roughly three times as likely as Biden supporters to say society is better prioritized if people prioritize marriage and family. Nearly half of Trump supporters overall, 56% of men and 37% of women, say it's bad for society that people are having fewer children. As in the past, relatively few Americans, 25%, say abortion should be legal in all cases, while even fewer, 8%, say it should be illegal in all cases. Meanwhile, separate previous polling, as Catholic News Agency explains, by EW10, has found that even among Catholics, just 9% of U.S. Catholic voters hold the view that abortion should be fully illegal, despite the Church's teaching on abortion. And nearly two-thirds of registered voters, 65%, say a person's gender is determined by the sex assigned to them at birth or biological sex. That's up from 53% in 2017. About a third, though, 34%, say gender can be different from their sex at birth. Extreme heat continuing to impact the West and move eastward through this week. There's excessive heat warnings, as we mentioned in the weather, in parts of California, Arizona, and Nevada that extend through tomorrow. According to the National Weather Service, scorching temps will then move into the central part of the country, with states including Colorado and Kansas potentially seeing triple digits by later this week on Thursday. Temperatures, meanwhile, in the east will be in the 90s from Florida up to New England. As the heat dome extends east, Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, and California will also see triple digits over the weekend as well. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in the Middle East pushing for a ceasefire to end the fighting in Gaza before departing Egypt to visit Israel yesterday. He told reporters Hamas is the only obstacle now to a ceasefire that would stop the conflict and free hostages held by the militant group.
The best way, the most effective way to get everyone home, including the American hostages, is through this proposal, is through the ceasefire deal that's on the table right now. That's what we're focused on. That's what we're determined to see achieved.
He said Hamas is the only side that has yet to agree to the truce. Blinken is meeting with Israeli leaders, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And the United Nations Security Council, meanwhile, as Brian Shook tells us, is approving a U.S.-drafted ceasefire deal aimed at stopping the fighting between Israel and Hamas.
14 members of the council voted in favor of the measure, while Russia elected to abstain. Officials say Israel has accepted the proposal that would require the release of some hostages held by Hamas in exchange for a six-week ceasefire. Hamas has yet to respond to the offer.
An alleged anti-Semitic yearbook incident is leading officials at East Brunswick High School in New Jersey to call for an outside investigation. A page in that yearbook that was supposed to feature the Jewish Student Association instead carried a photo of the Muslim Students Association with no names listed. Students from both faiths feel they're being targeted and that the school is not doing enough to correct the matter. Students at the Muslim Students Group say they had nothing to do with the yearbook. Jewish students believe they should have been contacted before the publication. Members of the Jewish Students Union retook their photo. Bree Tennis tells us in San Diego, California, UCSD graduation, well, it's taking place Saturday, but as she explains, not everyone is getting a diploma.
Seven seniors will not receive diplomas this weekend at graduation. UCSD says the graduation holds were ordered by the UC Board of Regents, and that means those seven students will not have access to their degree or transcripts. This comes from the pro-Palestinian protests, and the board says all students who were arrested on campus must go through the student conduct process, and that, they say, can take weeks.
Former President Donald Trump expected to announce his running mate next month at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Trump, in interviews last week, said he'd unveil his pick during the convention, which kicks off on July 15th. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, Senators Marco Rubio, Tim Scott, and J.D. Vance have all reportedly received vetting requests from the Trump campaign. Lisa Carton tells us that House Republicans are moving forward with their push to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress.
Republicans are demanding Garland turn over the audio tapes of President Biden's interviews with the special counsel who led the investigation into the president's handling of classified material. The Justice Department has handed over transcripts but has refused to turn over the audio tapes, arguing that witnesses may be less likely to cooperate in future investigations if they know their interviews might be made public. The House is preparing for floor votes on contempt resolutions against Garland later this week.
Senator John Fetterman and his wife say they're doing well after a car crash over the weekend. A spokesperson for the Pennsylvania Democrats' office said he and his wife, Giselle, went to a local hospital after the crash, which occurred in on Sunday morning. Fetterman was treated for a bruised shoulder before the couple was discharged later that afternoon. Tammy Trujillo tells us federal agencies now cracking down on the sale and distribution of illicit e-cigarettes.
The FDA announced a new task force that aims to shut down the flood of e-cigarette products on the market that are aimed at young people. Despite being ordered off the market by the FDA, Breeze Pro and Elf Bar remain the top two disposable e-cigarette brands in the U.S. The task force is working with the Justice Department, the U.S. Marshals Service, and the U.S. Postal Service.
UAW President Sean Fain now under investigation for allegations he abused his power as a president of that union. A watchdog appointed by a federal court is looking into Fain and whether the union has been obstructing the investigation. In a court filing yesterday, the watchdog said it had been working for months to get the union's cooperation and is also investigating a regional director for possible embezzlement. Governor Kathy Hochul in New York is highlighting drone technology for spotting sharks in the water off beaches in her state. She posted video online of the drones that will fly over the beaches.
The park police will be getting a bigger drone with thermal imaging, laser range finding, the ability to fly in bad weather and drop flotation device. So we are using technology.
There are now over 40 people trained on how to deploy the drones that will send real-time images of the water condition to lifeguards. There were a handful of shark-human encounters off Long Island and New York City beaches last year. Meanwhile, Rosie Rivera tells us in Virginia, a woman there is recovering after being violently attacked by a shark.
Elizabeth Foley was vacationing with her family off the Gulf Coast in Florida when she was attacked by a shark. It happened Friday afternoon near Water Sound Beach. Foley suffered injuries to her midsection and part of her arm had to be amputated. That same day, South Walton authorities also say they responded to reports of another shark attack just 4 miles east of where Foley was attacked. That attack critically injured two teenagers. Shark experts say there are more sharks in the Gulf than in years past, and while shark attacks are rare, they do appear to be on the rise.
NASA astronauts at the International Space Station will stay up there for at least another week. Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams launching from the Cape Canaveral Space Force Station on board Boeing's Starliner spacecraft last Wednesday. This marked the capsule's first crewed mission. NASA and Boeing gave an update yesterday saying the astronauts will return to Earth no earlier than next Tuesday, the 18th, in order to allow engineers to keep an eye on three small helium leaks. And Apple CEO Tim Cook says the tech giant is bringing AI to its iPhone, Mac, and other products.
Today, we're going to have some incredible updates to our platforms. And I'm excited that we'll introduce profound new intelligence capabilities.
Using Apple Intelligence, a company said it wants to use the existing generative AI tools already on the market, but make it more personalized for Apple users. Speaking at the annual Worldwide Developers Conference yesterday, Cook said Apple's priority is to make it intuitive and easy to use, while also being grounded in personal content. And that includes individuals' personal routines, relationships, etc. Mark Mayfield tells us finally in our news this morning that the projected tallest building in the U.S. has now been approved for unlimited height.
Last week, the Oklahoma City Council approved a new zoning application for the Legends Tower in Oklahoma City, removing height restrictions. Plans for the build were approved in April. However, several hurdles still need to be met, including its proposed digital signage spanning across all four of its towers. The Legends Tower will surpass One World Trade Center as the tallest building in the country, as well as make Oklahoma City the only metropolis outside of New York City and Chicago to have one of the top 10 tallest buildings in the U.S. The plan is for the building to be 1,907 feet tall, making it the fifth tallest in the world.
It is now almost 16 minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for your listenership here at EWTN. Don't forget to check out all of our great work online. Easy to do, EWTN.com. When we come back, Dr. Edward Shree is with us. He hasn't been with us for a while, but I'm excited to have him talk about his brand new book from our friends at Ignatius. So what do you seek? Encountering the heart of the gospel. So he comes up next on a Tuesday. We'll be right back.
If it's pasta you crave and you want it homemade, that's Antonio's.
If you're looking for real authentic Italian cuisine, Antonio's Cucina Italiana and Roman Village is the place to go. Everything is made fresh, in-house, fatta in casa. All our pastas, pizzas, soups, and sauces are prepared fresh daily. Visit any Antonio's in Roman Village, where we do Italian right.
That's Antonio's
Cucina Italiana.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
How do we raise faithful kids? Well, the answer is surprising. Make the faith the source of the warmth in your home. 50 years of research involving thousands of families has shown that the single most important way to increase the likelihood that children will own their faith as adults is to let them experience the practical difference their faith makes in their daily family lives. Kids who grow up in homes where the practice of their faith makes their households more peaceful, more loving, more joyful, are much more likely to practice their faith as adults. Why? Because for kids especially, faith is only real if they can see it being lived out at home and producing good fruit in their relationships at home. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
What do you seek? Encountering the heart of the gospel. Our friend Dr. Edward Shree's latest book, Ignatius, Ignatius Press, of course, Ignatius.com, and I was excited to endorse this book. I really love the whole concept and the way Ted approaches this. So what do you seek? The whole theme, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, is the idea is to take readers deeper into the heart of Jesus and the gospel through the five R's, inviting us to interiorize the foundational key aspects of the gospel message, including, as I mentioned earlier, relationship, rebellion, reconciliation, recreation, and response. And we know Dr. Shree from his great work with Focus and here at EWTN. He's an author, a theologian, a presenter, and of course has done so many different faith formation programs that are used by thousands of parishers around the world. Also the co-founder of the wonderful Focus Fellowship of Catholic University Students. Ted, it's always great to talk to you, and thanks for allowing me to endorse this book. I really, really liked it. Great to hear from you again.
Oh, thanks for having me again.
All right, so let's talk about the idea behind this in terms of what do you seek. So asking the readers to really think about that question, right, when they're in their relationship with God.
Yeah, you know, there's so much talk about evangelization in our church today, and we know that many people are leaving the church. We have many of us have family members and friends who've no longer practiced their Catholic faith. How do we get them back? And we need to evangelize. We need to share the gospel. That's what's often said. But I find that the average Catholic doesn't really deeply know the gospel. I mean, they know facts about Jesus and the Catholic faith, and they know that, you know, God created us and he died for us. You know, they know the facts, but do they know it in an interior level, at a deep personal level? Because we can't really give what we don't have. And so when I meet, you know, parents, for example, around the country, they'll say, oh, my child is no longer practicing the faith, or I've got my brother, I want to bring him back. What do I need to do, Dr. Shree? Do you have a book or something? I said, well, first and foremost, we need to make sure we are personally encountering Christ deeply in this beautiful message of the gospel. There's a great line that I quote in the book from Pope Francis in his work, Joy of the Gospel. He talks about how the kerygma, that's the Greek word for that initial proclamation of the gospel, that it's called the first proclamation. It's called the first proclamation of the gospel. But it's called first, not just simply in an order of a sequence. It's called first because it's primary, it's foundational, and it's something that we as disciples today have to go back to over and over again. So I wrote this book as something that we Catholics who are committed, we love the Lord, we love our Catholic faith, but we need to renew our encounter with Christ in the gospel message over and over again. Like, if I get bored with the truth that God created me out of love, or love, if I get bored with the truth that Jesus died for me, there's something really broken in me. Right. So I wanted this to be something that you could read, you can use for prayer, you can take to the chapel to grow in your own life. And then I hope it's something that could be a resource that you could use to share with others to bring them back to the fullness of the Catholic faith.
So let's go through the five R's. And we won't hit all of them before the break, but we'll start with relationship and rebellion. Let's talk about relationship.
Yeah, this is the basic point that God made us out of love. The first, very first quote of the Catechism highlights that God, out of the sheer plan of goodness, chose to bring us into existence in order to share his love and his life with us. And this is something we just have to marvel at, you know, the fact that we didn't have to exist. I mean, sometimes I was just training the Focus missionaries in the last 2 weeks, and I had them do this exercise where I tell them, close your eyes, and just imagine the broad, vast universe, and imagine that you didn't have to exist. God didn't have to create you. It's possible, and you know, that you could not exist. And that's a very startling kind of scary thought. But yet, he chose in his mind, he thought, this would be amazing to create Teresa Tavio, to create Edward Street, to create, you know, all the listeners, everyone. So he, in his mind, he brought us into existence out of sheer delight because he wanted to share his love with us. In fact, I was with one of the theologians down at Ave Maria, Michael Dauphiné. We were doing he was having me on his podcast, and he shared how St. Thomas Aquinas, reflecting on the mystery of creation, says that not only did God create us out of love, but that he delights in this. And there's a certain kind of gratitude and approbation, if you will, saying, yes, this is very good. One of the saints close to you in Italy there, St. Catherine of Siena. I love how she's a great doctor of the church, and yet she's marveling over the fact that God chose to create me and bring me into existence because he wants to share his love with me. He's crazy. And even says, oh, God, you are drunk with love. I love that line. You are drunk. And I think it's important for us to marvel over this foundational point. Because I think in a world where many of us feel very lonely, many people in our modern world live with such anxiety, they live with such shame, they feel that not only they've done bad, but they are bad, and to remember, no, we have to see our lives and see our mistakes and our sins even, we have to see them in the light of God's eyes. And as St. Catherine of Siena says, we have to look at all of our mistakes and sins and brokenness in the gentle mirror of God's love, and to remember how much he really wants a relationship with us. And that's the foundation for everything.
And also, too, I mean, in looking at today's gospel, and you're not hiding your light under a bushel, you know, and you know, you have to put that lamp on a hill, and you have to be salt and light. If we feel badly about ourselves, not that we don't have a contrite heart, but if we just focus on negativity, then we're not going to be able to be that gift that God wants us to be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the things that St. Teresa of Lisieux says that saddens God the most is when we don't trust him, when we don't trust his plan for us, but when we don't trust his love and his mercy. And so we think we're being humble. Oh, I'm a horrible person. Oh, I made these mistakes. And oh, I'm, you know, bad over here. That's actually not the way God sees us. We're called to see us the way God does. And it grieves God when we're just dwelling on all of our inadequacy and we're not seeing it in the light of God.
Yeah. All right, so the next one up, and we'll do this after the break, but the next one is rebellion, which we heard a lot about over the weekend, especially with the first reading. And then we have reconciliation, recreation, and response. So we're talking, of course, with our friend Dr. Edward Tree. He's a theologian, author, and presenter of a number of different faith formation programs used by thousands, and I mean literally thousands and thousands of parishes around the world. He's a host of a weekly podcast, All Things Catholic, with Curtis Martin, co-founder of FOCUS, we all know what that is, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, currently serving as the organization's senior VP of Apostolic Outreach, and his newest book is the one we're talking about today, What Do You Seek? Encountering the Heart of the Gospel, from our friends at Ignatius, Ignatius.com. We'll be right back, more with Dr. Tree on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection, coast to coast and around the globe from EWTN. We'll be right back. Dr. Edward Tree's new book, What Do You Seek?, takes readers much deeper into the heart of the gospel. And we were talking about the five R's, so we got through one. I mean, you're half Italian, I'm 100% Italian, so we may not get through all these because we both talk a lot. But the first one was relationship. The second on the list is rebellion. Okay, so we heard about that in the first reading for the Mass over the weekend. So let's talk about that issue of rebellion.
Yeah, you know, when you think about all the problems in the world, the war, the suffering, the poverty, the injustice, but you also think about many people's own personal sufferings, you know, we could ask, why is there so much anxiety? Why is there so much depression today? Why is there so much loneliness? You know, you could just, you know, list a number of factors. Well, maybe it's social media, or maybe it's the politics of our country, or whatever. You know, and those are things certainly to consider. But when we get to the root of the issue, we have to remember that there's somebody that is out there that hates us, that is constantly pursuing us, that wants to destroy us. And he has thousands and thousands of enemies alongside him that are fighting against us, who are more powerful than an atomic bomb, more, you know, majestic than anything we can see, because it's the invisible creation that God made, the angels. And while many of the angels are good and love and adore God and fulfill his purpose, there were some that rebelled against him, and the leader of them was known as the Shining One. That was his name, the Shining One, which tells us just how powerful he really was and brilliant and all. But he thought that his glory and his power was from himself, and he didn't want to submit and to serve God and his plan, especially his plan for us human beings, these creatures, you know, that are half spirit and half material, and he just did not want to follow that. So Lucifer, that's what Lucifer means, so the Shining One, convinced thousands and thousands of angels to rebel against their creator. That's how influential he was. He got them to do the most unwise thing, to declare independence. But the sad thing is that he also attacked us, and we conceded, and we joined his rebellion. And now this is a story that's not often talked about. When we think about all the problems in the world, Teresa, I think that this point may be one of the most important points for our modern era, because we don't really believe in the fall. We don't believe in original sin in our modern secular age. I love what D.K. Chesterton said. When somebody asked him, you know, what's the greatest problem in the world, he paused and then he said, me. Mm. And I think that we need to realize we have sinned. We have done wrong, and it's because of our participation in sin that has brought disease and brokenness and lack of peace in the world. That's what brought suffering into the world. The problem is, in our modern secular age, and you see this all over the place, we deny original sin. Right. And so instead of turning inward and going, what can I do better? You know, how can I be healed? What we do is we blame. We turn outward. We say, oh, it's my parents, or it's my school, or it's my church. It's my boss. It's my government. It's, you know, it's society. And we blame outward for all the problems. So when you look at all the protests that happened last year, when you look at so much of the social political landscape, there is this victimhood, and we blame, you know, our past. We blame our current leaders. We blame our parents, instead of turning inward and seeing, I'm the problem. And then all the ways we try to solve the problems of society, if you deny original sin, any kind of social program that denies original sin is never going to work.
Right.
So we have to realize that, you know, we're broken. This world is fallen. We're not made for this world. We're made for heaven. We want to make the world a better place. We want to bring more peace and justice, of course. I mean, we think about that. But we're not naive as Christians. We know that we're never going to make heaven here on earth. And this is a pilgrimage on our way to eternity. It's in heaven that there's no more tears and all suffering will pass away. And so I think this point is a fascinating one because of our current environment. I think our modern secular age, knowing the history of the Enlightenment and all, it's rooted in a denial, not directly of God, but ultimately of original sin. We think we can solve all our problems on our own and make the world a better place by ourselves. It is so prideful, the way we think. And yet we are the most depressed, most anxious,
right,
most lonely society probably ever in the history of humanity.
And then we go from rebellion to hopefully reconciliation, right?
Yes. Now this is the basic message of God dying for us. You know, that God became man and died for us. But I think what we want to keep in mind is, as Catholics, I think we can just take that for granted. We see crucifixes everywhere. You know, but I often say, you know, if you were walking on a street in, you know, downtown New York or downtown Rome, and all of a sudden there's this big car just whipping around a corner and you didn't see it, and your friend notices and jumps in front of the car to save you, the idea that your friend died for you isn't just like, oh yeah, he died for me. It's like you feel deeply, personally, right, indebted. You feel that gratitude. I just don't know if every Catholic feels that. Every Catholic really experiences that great sense of how much God has done for us. And I go through the book, and this is probably one of the most fascinating parts of the book, is I really wanted to explain the cross from a Catholic perspective, that it's not Jesus just dying and taking our punishment like a child might, you know, an innocent child, you know, let's say his brother did something wrong and he was going to get a punishment. He's going to get a spanking, say. And then the innocent brother just says, oh, no, Dad, spank me instead. And then the father doesn't care who he spanks. He's just got to let some spanking out. That's crazy. That doesn't make any sense, right? You don't spank the innocent. That's not just or merciful. Similarly, I think that's how many people think of God and the cross. They think, well, we sin, and Jesus, you know, goes to the cross to take our punishment, to take our spanking. A truly Catholic understanding of the cross from St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Anselm, from the Catechism, doesn't put the focus on Jesus taking our punishment as much as he's offering a gift of love on our behalf. I think about, so Teresa, I don't know, does this ever happen in your marriage? Do you ever hurt your spouse? Does that ever happen?
Oh, gosh, no. After 41 years, no, we never had one issue at all. We never had any issues in 41 years. Going to confession after the show, by the way. Yeah.
When I hurt my wife, like, I don't love her well, right? I feel like I have to perform an act of love to make up for my lack of love. Mm-hmm. So maybe I hold her hand or put my arm around and say, I'm sorry. If it's really bad, I go buy her favorite chocolates or her beautiful flowers. In other words, I want to give a gift, an expression of love to make up for my lack of love. And that's what Jesus is doing for us on the cross. You see, we sinned against the almighty infinite God, but we can't. There's nothing I can do to make up for all that on my own, because I'm just a finite human being. God becomes one of us in Jesus Christ, so he can truly represent us. He's truly human. He can represent the human family with an act of love. But because he's divine, because he's God, his act of love takes on infinite value. And so at the heart of a Catholic understanding of the cross, the Catechism says, it is love to the end that gives the cross its redemptive value. And I think that's so important for Catholics. Most Catholics don't get this. As I travel around the country, I think 99% of Catholics that I talk to do not understand the cross. Again, it's the very center of our faith. And here's the key. What he did on the cross isn't just something he did 2,000 years ago.
No.
It's something he wants to reproduce in our own hearts. So we're called to live that total self-giving love of Jesus on Calvary.
Yeah. See, I knew we wouldn't get through all five because the two of us talking, but this is great. And this is just a taste, though, of what you're going to get from this beautiful new book from Dr. Edward Shree, What Do You Seek, Encountering the Heart of the Gospel. So please, you can either go to Ignatius.com. You can go to, of course, AveMariaRadio.net, the archives later on. Andrew will put the link up there. But check it out. It's by our friend Dr. Edward Shree, a beautiful book from Ignatius. What do you seek? We seek God, right? We're always seeking him. As St. Augustine says, we're restless until we rest in him. and we can encounter the heart of the gospel. Thanks, Ted. Great to speak with you. We'll be right back on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Catholic Connection Coast to Coast, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Great to have Brian Butler back with us, and he's the speaker and author of several books and programs related to the theology of the body. And he was with us recently, if you remember, to talk about a new program from Ascension Press, a refreshed Envision Theology of the Body for Middle School. But he also does so much really interesting work in terms of ministry with young people. He's the executive director and co-founder of Echo Community. It's a nonprofit organization dedicated to chastity and vocation formation for teens and young adults. And when we were talking recently, we were talking during the break about Pride Month or so-called Pride Month, everything that's going on in our world. And this is such a really volatile time, especially for young people when they are exposed to all kinds of things going on, especially during so-called Pride Month. So I wanted to have Brian back on to talk about this and how do we help ourselves and how do we reach out to people with whom we disagree, with whom we know are in difficult situations that are going to hurt them, not help them, especially spiritually, and how do we be loved to them? And so Brian is with us this morning, and I love some of the summaries you've given us here, Brian, really important, looking at Eucharistic processions, which are parades of humility dedicated to Jesus in the real presence. And then you compare that to some of these pride events that are going on around the country and the world. So let's talk about that. I think it really is quite interesting that we have during the Sacred Heart of Jesus dedication in the Catholic Church in the month of June, then we have this pride event all over the place going on. What are your thoughts on that? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Teresa. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me again. I think it's interesting to remember the, maybe some people might remember the origin of the word sin. It was actually a Greek archer's term for missing the mark. And I think so many times in our own lives, whenever we sin, we're not always seeking to do something bad. We're looking for something good in the wrong place and we miss the mark. And I think it's important for us to remember that yes, we do see the surge in this month with the pride parades and things like that. We are all in this search for something good, but we often look in the wrong places. And our brothers and sisters who are maybe getting caught up in the pride movement sometimes might be missing the mark of the truth of what God really wants for us to set us free. I think it's a desire for freedom, right? I mean, all the time we're seeing all these different kinds of signs and symbols and t-shirts about freedom and love, but Jesus tells us that only the truth will set us free. And I think that's been on display with these beautiful Eucharistic processions where he's actually the center of the whole thing. And it's not my body that's the center, but his body that's the center. It's not my desires that are the center, but his desires that are the center. And that's the only way we're truly going to find the freedom that we were made for, which is ultimately bringing us even deeper to the love that our hearts want.
Yeah, and I think, too, the whole idea, and we just talked about this in the first reading, right, over the weekend, in terms of the pride of our fall, it all has to do with pride. So I always found it interesting that those who want to express certain things, certain lifestyles and interests or whatever, from a sexual perspective, are using this word pride. To me, I thought that it really, I think, says a lot in many ways.
It does say a lot because, you know, we recognize there is a certain, a healthy sort of pride in your family and your country and your team that does a great job. But when we celebrate sin with a word and try to sanctify a word that actually is a vice and turn it into a virtue, then we do stray and we miss the mark. And ultimately, we cannot have our hearts be satisfied with that sort of movement. And I think this is a beautiful movement that St. John Paul II, you know, taught us about so much. He was a personalist. And personalists always keep the freedom of the human being at the center of the conversation and propose that truth that does set us free and then allow us to wrestle with it. And as a parent, sometimes this is hard, right? Because we don't want to just propose things to our kids. We'd like to legislate them. And I think that the father in heaven is doing the same thing today for all of us, no matter which parades you're a part of. He's still proposing to us the truth and inviting every single one of us to receive it and respond in freedom, so we can have the authentic love that our hearts really desire. And the Eucharist is the source and the summit of our Christian life. And that means that he's supposed to be the center of all of our daily sort of desires as well.
Absolutely. Talking with Brian Butler, an expert on theology of the body, and he was just on Catholic Connection not too long ago to talk about the program with Ascension Press that was newly refreshed. It's Envision Theology of the Body for Middle School. He's also the executive director and co-founder of ECHO, community and nonprofit organization dedicated to chastity and vocation formation for teens and young adults. Why do you think, Brian, that so many entities, outlets, efforts always jump on this quote-unquote pride bandwagon? We talked about this the last time you were on with us, is this woman who her content is for parents with very young children, 3 and under, and she put a big statement out in support of pride. I was telling you during the break, I came across a story yesterday where yet another company that does school fairs and has done book fairs all over the country for a long time now has a whole line, and has for some time now, a whole line of gay pride books and LGBTQ-centered material for really young children. Every time we turn around, there's somebody else jumping on this quote-unquote pride bandwagon. Why the necessary efforts to do that, do you think?
Well, I think it has become a popular movement. You know, if you go back to the beginning of the movement, there was some violence done towards homosexuals, mm-hmm. that spurred the movement. And that was real, and that was tragic. And there are still places where things are being done that are tragically devaluing the human person because of a particular orientation. And that's not the heart of the church. It's not
right.
The heart that we're called to. But if we do recognize when there is someone who is a victim, and then people begin to stand up for that person, then sometimes all kinds of things get through and start to move in that direction that maybe aren't all about the same thing. And I think that's maybe what's important for us to remember, is that we do need to respect every single human being, and we do not discriminate,
right.
But we do speak the truth. And when things are being pushed on our children or being promoted, you know, in little kids' magazines as, you know, something that's very inappropriate, then we do have a right and even a duty as Christians, as Catholics, to stand up and to speak the truth in love. And I do think that this month of the Sacred Heart is a beautiful reminder of how to do that, because Christ was always willing to suffer, right? And so we see those thorns around the heart,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
is, okay, we're going to suffer if we actually choose authentic love. But our hearts are meant to be inflamed as well, you know, that we don't just have this stoic sort of like, don't do that approach, but we are inflamed with the purity of authentic love, and we propose that beautiful love rather than just saying, don't do this. We're invited to say, well, what are we called to do? We're called to love as Christ loves.
So how do you, as someone who works with young people on a regular basis, get that beautiful message that you just proclaimed to us? How do you get that through to young people? Because many young people, and I even had a discussion with a young teen recently, where this sweet girl had been bullied when she was a little bit younger. She's about 14 right now. And she says the reason that she supports the LGBTQ movement because she doesn't want anybody to be bullied. And so from one sense, she's trying to be a good person. She's thinking, I don't want anybody, and neither do we. As you just said, the Catholic Church is very clear, especially in the Catechism, about not discriminating against those with same-sex attraction. And as a matter of fact,
right.
that the attraction itself is not the sin. It's the acting on that is problematic. But I think, so that, as you said, the intention, and as I mentioned, this young girl wants to help someone. But to express that, while you love them enough to show them the difference between right and wrong, that doesn't turn into hate, because in the world when we say that we don't support that kind of a lifestyle, then we're haters. So how do we use the language? How do we help them understand the beauty of what the Catholic faith has to offer, especially in the Sacred Heart of Jesus?
Yeah, I think this is beautiful that you bring this up about young people, because they do have a great virtue of desiring to accept others, and
mm-hmm.
that's a virtue, to accept
right.
a person for who they are is a virtue, to not try to make them be something else or to make them be just like you, but to know that everybody is unique. That's reverence, right? But that doesn't mean that we actually just okay every single thing that everyone does. We are still called to be able to call a spade and to judge right from wrong. And I think that what people are desiring, young people are desiring, is authentic friendship. And that's something that's a lost art today. And the Catechism actually says that chastity blossoms in friendship. And so what we try to do is create incredible retreat experiences where young people can come together with Christ as the center, with his desires for us as the center, and we rally around that, and great life-changing friendships are born with Christ and with one another. And that becomes something that's so freeing. I love to say, you know, that the idea of the incarnation saves no one. It's only the actual incarnation that actually saves us. And this is true about community. We can't just have our ideas about good community or ideas about good friendship, but actually have to implement them. And that means to befriend those who are maybe even different than us and to love them with Christ's love. And pretty soon we start to see that that's the deep desire that we're all looking for. Instead of missing the mark going somewhere else, we start going to the true fountain that is actually, you know, that we're thirsty for.
I think so much of it, as you pointed out, not only today, but when you were on with us recently, is about relationship. Now, do you have any events coming up, retreats for young adults or events that folks might be interested in maybe sending their kids to?
We have a ton of them coming up here. We've got like maybe 15 or 20 different
wow.
sort of retreats lined up. And over the next 6 months or so, probably seven that people can come to, we've got, you can get on echoretreats.com and, mm-hmm. and learn about all the different retreats we have going on for teens and young adults. We've got two more this summer that are full, like week-long experiences diving into the beauty of authentic relationship and God's call to friendship. We have an incredible adventure retreat up in the mountains for young adults up in Montana that's happening in early August. That we've got a couple weeks left on that registration for people to do that. We've got retreats for engaged couples. We've got a healing retreat for women that can
wow.
come and marinate in the theology of the body, and they can actually learn more about who God made them to be. What is authentic feminine genius really all about?
Mm.
It's really life-changing stuff that we've been doing for about 20 years now, and it's exciting to be able to offer something beautiful and good instead of just telling people, well, don't do that.
Don't do this, and
all
the world's horrible,
saying, well,
and
what should
I
do?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. No, and I think, too, I really, truly believe this, and I keep getting this affirmed over and over again, that we are back in this, how do you want to say it? Well, Father John Mercado talking, I think you and I discussed this last time as well, this whole idea of Acts 29, right, the next chapter of Acts, this apostolic age, this new apostolic age that we're in. More and more I'm hearing from different people in different walks of ministry that it's the one-on-one thing, exactly like what you're doing. My husband and I believe very strongly in pilgrimage. That's why we lead so many every year, because when you bring people to a place of beauty and you can get them to walk in the footprints of the saints and share with them, you know, what you love about a particular place or, you know, particular saint, that personal encounter with people helps them encounter Christ, I think, more deeply.
They do want that personal encounter. But I think, Teresa, they also want to belong to a group. They want to belong to something that's bigger than themselves, you know, and I think that that's a beautiful thing about, you know, Echo Community, is that we've got these life-changing encounters, and we do meet you one-on-one, but you also get a chance to track with a small group where you're able to
yeah.
be
mm-hmm.
an invested member in, you know, five or six people who are growing in authentic friendship. You get a chance to play games together, to pray together, to do scavenger hunts together, to, you know, go to confession, to discuss things and actually really have traction that becomes meaning. I love to say, like, let's have conversations of eternal significance.
Mm-hmm.
And these kinds of things are happening, and young people are responding because they don't want just the cheap stuff. They want something valuable and life-giving.
Yeah, I love that, because to me that sounds like another version of pilgrimage, because we always watch the people on our trips, and by the end of the pilgrimage, the friendships that form, because we've been to Mass together, they've had the opportunity for confession, they've met people that may be from different walks of life, but they all come together with that idea of the love of God and wanting to, you know, better themselves in that relationship. Boy, I could talk to you forever, Brian. Thank you so much. Give us a website for your retreats that you're offering, including the one that's coming up in Montana for the teens.
Yeah, please, echoretreats.com, echoretreats.com, and you can get all the information there. And if you can't figure it out, then please email us or call us, and we'd love to help you out. Thanks so much for inviting me on again, Teresa.
You are welcome. Great discussion, and we will keep in touch. And again, we will have the link to Brian's ministry on the archive section at Catholic Connection through AveMariaRadio.net. We'll be right back on a Tuesday. We'll let you know what's coming up tomorrow on a Wednesday. Stay tuned.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Fire on the Earth's Peter Herbeck.
Jesus said, "You're the light of the world," and one of the things that he meant by that was the Christian people understand the larger story that's unfolding in history. So as St. Paul said, as the saints echoed very clearly, we're now living through just a short moment, a slight momentary affliction, he calls it, in this life, which is going to make way and lead us to an eternal glory beyond all compare. The secret to the fruitfulness and the strength of the apostles was that they lived with a clear vision of the future, an eternal perspective, fixed on the destiny of where their life was headed. And they lived with the realization that, wow, yeah, life is very short here. Everything is temporary. Nothing here in this world is ultimately going to last except the ultimate destinies, the eternal destinies of every human being that exists on the earth. And they knew that whether good things were coming their way or bad things from the world's perspective were coming away, nothing could steal from them, nothing could take away the gold that was in their heart, the treasure that they bore. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Peter Herbeck spreads fire on the earth, weekday mornings at 6:30 and again at 11:45 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Appreciate your listenership, EWTN.com. Thanks for tuning in on a Tuesday, June 11th, 2024, the Feast of St. Barnabas. Pray for us. Coming up tomorrow, we will go to Roma with our Joan Lewis, right, and check out all the activities regarding the Vatican. And a lot going on in Italy, getting ready for 2025, the Jubilee year, and then 2026, a big anniversary for St. Francis of Assisi. We'll talk about that soon, I'm sure. Also talking about social media, especially during Pride Month, and protecting your kids from some of the stuff that's out there. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Domani. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.